This is episode 139 of UFO Encounters. In this episode, I'm reading from Brian Martin's book, Between Worlds, A Life of Abduction, Addiction, and Awakening. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to read an extract called Alien Related First Sighting, It Looked Like the Sun. Sometimes small towns seem abandoned, but are, in fact, the emptiness of people. I crossed the street without an upward glance. There was no one coming. The ground went from sidewalk to blacktop, then curb and gravel. I stood in the corner parking lot of the Tasty Freeze, the only ice cream shop in town. A vast lot for such a tiny building. It also accommodated their three-story spinning sign advertisement. It stood corner prominent on a single, massive, painted metal pole. Head down, I wound around it, taking in the texture of the smooth enamel paint, the gravel beneath my feet. And you do not have to be alone anymore, ever. If I wanted, if I choose. The rain, this undercurrent of patterns nuance, floated into my consciousness. A tear fell into the dust by my shoe. It caught me unaware, so I stopped while hanging off the pole, thinking at first it was the beginning of some weather. Then I knew the truth. I believed because believing is something I do. I could be taken. Another tear landed beside the first. I could be ready. I looked straight up and did exactly what adults always say not to do. I stared directly into the sun. Golden red, as if about to set, it swirled in molten colours of light, infused mists swirling lazily about it, bathed in deep tangerine, surrounded by the ivory mist glow. Its beauty fixed me. I bowed my head after a long moment, eyes closed, imprint fresh. I knew the clouds had been overcast. Grey, opaque, and stretching horizon to horizon in bubbled patterns from earlier showers. A hint suggested I was too near the pole, so I pushed off, stepping to the open area. That was also the summer my oldest cousin, Bev, took me out for a cigarette in her mum's car. It's not like we went driving or anything. Bev was just trying to bond, since I was now part of the smoking circle. When I inhaled it, it made me sick. And she laughed. After turning green, she softened the blow by malfunctioning inhalation by softly admonishing me for doing it wrong and to let me have it back before you soaked the filter, then played with my hair. I told her something that would not be repeated for over 40 years. I told her something funny about time, that I had missed an hour yesterday and three last Saturday. On to the next section. This is titled Alien Related, First Contact. I'm in my bedroom listening to headphones. It is the 70s, and then I meet Doctor. Within me, the emotion of music alchemized into a state of blissful ecstasy as I gazed at the row of four glowing entities, yellow, red, blue, and green. Unaware of how, I wanted to communicate and was shocked when they responded. Until now, they hung in stillness. The formation broke into movement, graceful arches transforming the flat plane of darkness into three dimensions. They danced with the music, growing and receding in spirals, yet never breaking order, forming a tilting horizontal column traced in light. Astounded, I could no longer hold the vision solid against my ecstatic state. My inner balance shattered, and the adrenaline caused my eyes to flutter open. Pop, they were gone. I hadn't even lasted the whole song. Amazed that I had made my first contact with, well, I still dwell on it to this day. Flashes of the others came later. My awareness of missing time had been gradual, as was the experience of being taken. The first other was Doctor. I lay on a table of materials both soft and firm. He worked at my side, between me and a wall of lights unlike any I'd seen before. Their brightness and vibrant colour rivaled anything ever seen, even on a Christmas tree, until LED lights became common. Even so, it was Doctor I could not take my eyes off. He was small and quite old. I refer to him as he, as there were no feminine aspects, nor did he fit the bill of masculinity. Two arms, legs, eyes, and one head were where the similarities between us ended. Pale without being white, his skin was drawn tight over a bony structure with too little flesh. His massive black eyes were devoid of reflection and framed low on his face due to his overlarge bald head. Tiny hands moved with surprising dexterity and, if I recall correctly, they were also bony. His back and shoulders slumped forward in a permanent hunch, further expressing what I recognised as advanced age. Doctor worked with a fixed expression of focus while moving with a fluidity that belied his years. He turned from my table to the standalone wall panel whose ambient light allowed us to see each other, yet nothing else beyond us. We were not alone. Despite his oddness of character, perhaps because of it, I sensed he was superior in the role of medical staff for children. The equipment with all the pretty lights, like Doctor, was chosen for my benefit by whomever, or whatever, observed us under cover of darkness. Long stares often landed me in trouble, but I did it anyway, and hard. Here would be no different. Doctor nonplussed, so transfixed, I kept at it and even raised my head for better viewing. An undercurrent of thought made me aware that this dreamy quality accompanying our setting might make things difficult to recall later. I committed to noticing specifics and not just the general whole of his appearance. But as I stared, and for all the obvious reasons as well as the strange wonder of it all, what I remember being most impressed with was that the others had answered. Is that vague? God answers in silence, in action, in surprise revelation, and in many unmistakable ways. This guy turned around and spoke to me in an offhand manner. It shook me, not because he could speak or had jumped into dialogue outside the rhythm of his routine without warning, because he spoke as one accustomed to a congenial bedside manner with children. This was well within my experience, and I was grateful for a point of familiarity, as it informed me that what was happening could not be a dream. More importantly, he spoke in answer to my thoughts, and considering the circumstances, there was no question about it. You study my face. His voice was that of the elderly. It held an accent unknown to me, though it seemed no stranger than he or my surroundings. Later, I'd relate it to being Asian, but that's like saying French-Canadian, as neither sounds like the other. Not if you know what to listen for. Doctor resumed movement with uninterrupted purpose, and with it, lost whatever subtle colour of emotion might have surfaced. I made a point of saying nothing at all, not out of fear, as any child confronted by such a dream, whose details were beyond their ability to conjure, but due to a cognitive realisation. I could single Doctor out from all the background static between my ears. Was it because I was so close? He again broke the flow of movement, congruous in his action to speak. You study my face, he repeated, and think my voice is funny. I swear he smiled. I faced it with the tolerance all children muster when a grandparent or other adoring old person makes a ghastly face in an effort to be friendly. That mouth, that elastic mouth, smaller, less defined than ours, framed in sallow skin connecting the features of this chin, jaw, and cheekbones. I did not see teeth. Confirming my suspicion, he looked over and across my body, addressed the darkness, and, I'm paraphrasing, they all see my face and think, yeah, we look. I wonder what he said there too, but I could guess. He seemed amused, certain it was a joke I was not supposed to understand. This was within my experience as well. All at once he resumed attention to the wall panel behind him with such alacrity and coldness I thought it must be in response to those unseen, and then all connection between us ceased. Then the calm I had subliminally been aware of enjoying receded as the low ocean rushes away from one standing on the beach, leaving once firm sand foundation soft and unstable. It unbalanced my confidence. There indeed was a monitor in the shadows. I woke to the realization while centered in a room that lacked visible walls, floor and ceiling, bereft of the sleepy shell I'd been enjoying some semblance of normalcy through. Gone, stripped of any vestige of illusion that this was a dream. The thought of getting up and running out into the darkness never entered my mind. Anything could be lurking there. It was obvious something was, though I knew not how. Besides, that which was unfolding right beside me had my full attention. Doctor had produced two instruments, one in each hand, both with semi-opaque, frosted, orchid-like ends. In this episode, I was reading from Brian Martin's book, Between Worlds, A Life of Abduction, Addiction, and Awakening. And my book, titled Aspects of Alien Abduction, is on Amazon. You can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast if you'd like to support the podcast and get access to the extended episodes. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.